The Cinemania Society presents Cheapskate by Patrick Ireland. Read for you by Daniel Scribner. Yeah, I get all kinds. Any rental limo chauffeur does. Weddings, tips are fair. People are usually happy. Funerals, forget it. Nights in the town vary. Married couples, maybe a 10, sometimes a 20. Single guys out to impress a dame, $50 at least. Teeny boppers, don't make me laugh. Unless you can relate to bubblegum cards and maybe a Def Leppard cassette left in the tape deck. I take what comes. I have to. $10 an hour on a 12-hour shift pays the rent, but tips buy the little extras, like a decent lunch now and then. And that was what ticked me off about this guy. I came into the office this morning at 9 o'clock. Max, the dispatcher, hands me my day's schedule. 4 one-hour runs and a 2-hour. Great. Well, at least it's a stretch limo today. That's some consolation. For me, at least. Some of the other guys bitch about pushing a stretch in traffic. I tell them I'll swap anytime. I can handle the heavy iron. It gets you noticed. Anyway, about this guy I mentioned. He was the 2-hour shot. First run of the day, 10 o'clock pickup. With a decent tip, I can have lunch at Dolly's Steakhouse and get to my 1:30 pickup no sweat. I go to my locker and get dressed. Black, vested suit, black tie, shoes, and a cap. I brush the patent leather visor with my sleeve and head out to the garage. Vinny, the detail kid, already has my limo staged and idling. He asks me, can I vacuum out the rig when I get in tonight? He's got a hot date. I tell him, yeah, sure. What the hell? Vinny's a good kid. Besides, he put an extra good polish on the stretch just for me. I slide into the leather and ease out of the driveway. Half an hour later, I'm at this so-so apartment complex looking for my guy. After a minute, he shows and I jump out to open the door. He's a good-sized lug, wearing an outdated suit. His necktie's crooked and clumsily knotted. Mr. Blaine, I say, knowing better.
Name's Blair.
He grunts, eyes hidden behind mirrored sunglasses. Just making sure, Mr. Blair. I get all kinds. He dives into the seat without another word, and I shut the door, nice and easy. When I slide behind the wheel, he says,
Downtown.
Then zip, up goes the privacy window. Okay, fine. I glide away from the curb and ease into traffic. Don't get the idea that the privacy window bothers me, it doesn't. I've been driving limos long enough to know that people who pay for the toys want to play with them. Next, I hear him turn on the TV. I enter the freeway on-ramp, watching the mirror to merge nice and smooth. Any minute now. The intercom buzzes. I'd already reached for the receiver. Yes, Mr. Blair?
Could you stop at a convenience store? I need some cigarettes.
Yes, sir. Can do. At least it wasn't Burger King. Seems like every jerk who rents a limo thinks he's the only guy in the world clever enough to have himself taken to a fast food drive-thru window. I think it impresses the cashiers. I can tell you, it does not. I coast off the freeway and onto the Esplanade. The Circle K store is just 2 blocks from Dolly's, where I hope to have lunch. I pull right up in front and jump out to whip open the door. Blair climbs out and heads into the store. I shut the door and stand ramrod straight, hands clasped behind my kidneys, rocking back and forth on my heels. I'm looking down the Esplanade at Dolly's neon sign, thinking about a 16-ounce top sirloin, baked potato with sour cream, and a large iced tea. Blair pops back out, tucking a folded paper bag into his breast pocket. I open the door and bow him into the car. As I roll out of the parking lot, the intercom buzzes again. Yes, Mr. Blair.
You know where the Four Seasons shopping mall is?
Certainly, sir.
Go ahead. Head over there, will you? Do you have a pen I could borrow?
Sure thing, Mr. Blair. The privacy window zips down, and I hand him my paper mate. The window zips right back up again. He doesn't bother to thank me. Nice guy. I cruise back to the freeway, concentrating on a smooth ride and a decent tip. From the back, I hear Lucy whining at Desi. $50 an hour this guy's paid so he can watch a rerun of a 30-year-old TV show in black and white. 20 minutes later, I slide off the freeway and melt into heavy surface traffic, jockeying for the mall. I see a window in the stream of cars and smoothly insert the stretch, feathering the brake like oil on glass. I ooze into the 400-acre parking lot and slow to a crawl, waiting for directions from Blair. He has me drop him at the north entrance of Capwell's department store, just past the Wells Fargo Bank. He tells me to circle the block of the department stores and meet him at Capwell's south entrance. Ten minutes later, he shows up carrying a well-filled paper bag. I pop open the door and usher him in. He seems nervous, preoccupied. Once away from the mall, he directs me to the Greyhound Bus Depot. Now this is an original bus depot in a stretch limo. At the bus depot, he tells me to wait.
Don't get up.
Ducks into the lobby with the paper bag, and a minute later, returns without it. I glide back into traffic, checking the digital clock. He's got half an hour left. He directs me back to the apartment complex where I'd picked him up. I'm thinking of steak, medium rare, and I'm driving like a float at a parade. With 5 minutes to spare, we roll up to his digs. I step out, open the door, standing at attention and offering him a 500-watt smile. Blair breezes past me with a
"Thank you."
And it's history. No tip! I'm so jerked out of shape, I find myself in front of Dolly's before I realize I can't afford the goddamn salad bar, let alone a steak. I cruise on past, stomach growling, and whip into the Circle K, where I pick up a couple of microwave burritos and a Coke, and I get my stuff and head to the cash register. The clerk is eyeballing the limo. As he's counting out my change, he says,
"Hey, you were just in here a little while ago, right?"
"Yeah."
"So who's that guy? Some rich nut or what?"
"Just a cheapskate, that's all. It's a rental."
"Oh, I get it. Where'd you take him? It seemed pretty strange that a guy in a limo would want to come in here and buy a $1 money order and then ask for an empty shopping bag."
"Beats me, pal. See you around." I hit the trail, wolfing down the burritos, trying to keep the slop off my suit. The rest of the day is no better. When I get back to the barn, vacuuming out the limo, I find a wadded up ball of paper. Unfolding it out of curiosity, I see that it's a carbon receipt of a money order for $1. And get this, handwritten on the face of it is, "I have a gun. Keep quiet. Fill the bag with 10s, 20s, 50s. Be smart and stay alive." My mind is ticking over at 1,000 RPM. A guy standing in line in a bank with a money order in his hand is the most natural thing in the world. Bank robber getting away in a limo, the most unnatural. Misdirection at both ends. A dollar invested in a camouflage robbery note, 100 for the getaway, and 2 bits for a locker at the bus depot. I think the cops might be interested in Blair's address. In fact, I'm sure of it. Too bad he didn't tip me. If he had, I'd have gone to Dolly's instead of Circle K and never learned about the money order. I never would have made the connection. Besides, the cheapskate son of a bitch never gave me back my pen. I get all kinds.
This has been the Cinemania Society Presents Cheapskate, copyright 1983 by Patrick Ireland. Performed by Daniel Scribner and Ethan Ireland. Cheapskate first appeared in the October 1988 issue of Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine and appears here with the permission of the author. Intro and outro music by Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. The Investigators by Brian Bennett appears courtesy of apmmusic.com. Sound effects courtesy of Epidemic Sound. Production, editing, and sound design by Ethan Ireland. Very special thanks to Alexandros Katadakis and Ziv Lang for making this episode possible. The Cinemania Society Presents is a product of the Cinemania Society, LLC.